It's one of those kinds of things. In fact, there are almost just as many times as God declaring he remembers this specific subject as you get humans in the Bible saying, please don't remember this specific subject. And what we're going to be talking about is our sin. Our transgressions are false. God declares often throughout Scripture that he gets reminded of those things. And it's one of those things we often remind him, like throughout the Psalms, we don't want you to remember these things, please. The psalm that Dave Van Aken opened up us with, it had, don't remember my sins, please. Don't remember the sins of my youth. Instead, remember me based off of your love, and not based off of my sins, is what it says. There are plenty of examples when God makes the point that he remembers these things. Jeremiah 14 is a prophecy. We talked about not-so-trivial trivia the past 2 weeks about Jeremiah. Jeremiah was the weeping prophet because God was condemning the Israelites, and he was upset about it. And these are sorts of the things God says in this prophecy. Thus says the Lord, Jeremiah 14:10, thus says the Lord concerning this people, they have loved to wander thus. They have not restrained their feet. Therefore the Lord does not accept them. Now he will remember their iniquity and punish their sins. The Lord said to me, do not pray for the welfare of this people. Though they fast, I will not hear their cry. And though they offer burnt offering and grain offering, I will not accept them, but I will consume them by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. That's a really encouraging passage, right? Like Jeremiah the prophet is told, don't even pray for these people. Just don't. They're going to fast, they're going to sacrifice, and I'm not going to hear it because I remember their sins. It's pretty intense. Other times in the book of Hosea, God states he'll remember sins again. Three times, all boom, 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 kind of. One chapter at a time, three chapters in a row. It says, but they do not consider that I remember all their evil. Now their deeds surround them. They are before my face. And then you skip a chapter, Hosea 8, says, were I to write for him my laws by the 10,000s, they would be regarded as a strange thing. As for my sacrificial offerings, they sacrifice meat and eat it, but the Lord does not accept them. Now he will remember their iniquity and punish their sins. They shall return to Egypt. Skipping another chapter, Hosea 9, they have deeply corrupted themselves as in the days of Gibeah. He will remember their iniquity. He will punish their sins. In those verses, the prophet tells Hosea, they just don't get it, do they? The first verse was, they forget that I remember sins. And then it goes on in that second verse I read, I could write 10,000 laws, God says, and it wouldn't matter. They'd try to find a way to break every single one of them. I won't accept their offerings. I might as well send them back as slaves to Egypt. It's not like saving them did anything. This is what God is saying in that passage there. Because he remembers all their sins and they've added up. There are others, but one last one I'll read today. Revelation 18:5. It says, for her sins are heaped high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Pay her back as she herself has paid back others, and repay her double for her deeds. Mix a double portion for her in the cup she mixed. Now that passage is talking about Babylon, the great harlot, the great cause of evil things in this world throughout the book of Revelation. But he's saying, whatever she was having, mix it up again and make her drink it back double. All our stuff, give it back to her again, twofold. Now, as I mentioned, sin is not something we really want God to remember, right? Especially not our own. Sometimes, though, we do want him to remember other people's sins. Have you ever noticed that? That we kind of often want God to serve those people right. That happens occasionally. In fact, it happens so much it's in the Bible too. People praying to God, God, remember those people's sins. Don't forget about them. That happens throughout in the Psalms. It happens a couple times, such as Psalm 74. It says in verse 18, remember this, O Lord, how the enemy scoffs and a foolish people reviles your name. Or a few verses later, same psalm, it says, arise, O God, defend your cause. Remember how the foolish scoff at you all the day. Now, you can justify that a little bit because they're saying, hey, remember, they're being mean to you, God. But there's other psalms, and that one sort of begins with, they're bad people, God. Remember those bad guys. Remember them. And yet we cry out just the opposite about ourselves. When we're talking about ourselves, we cry out the opposite of don't remember this. Of Psalm 79:8. Says, do not remember us against our former iniquities. Let your compassion come speedily to meet us, for we are brought very low. It's saying, don't remember our past sins. Another one, and that's the one we already mentioned. We opened the service with it. But 25:6-7, it says, remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me, for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. So we often cry out to God, don't remember our sins. And so as a side note, treat others like you'd want to be treated. If you want God's forgiveness, forgive others. There's biblical verses about that, teaching about that. But then you might ask, though, what good is it to ask God not to remember our sins if he declares that he will remember our sins? If he declares he's going to remember them, if he says your fasting, your sacrifice don't help, you're still going to get it. What good is it then to ask God to remember our sins? And here's the good news, that while God does remember our sins, the Bible also states he forgets sins too. And that's the good news. I remember that first verse from Jeremiah I read where it says that they fast, God doesn't care, don't even pray for the people. Same book, a few chapters later, Jeremiah chapter 31, there's another prophecy. Jeremiah 31, 33, and 34, it says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." So he's talking about a covenant that will occur, a future covenant where people won't even have to teach other people about God, because everybody just knows about him. That's a good thing to look forward to. And he says, in that covenant, he will remember our sins no more. This shows us that God doesn't actually want to remember sins. And that makes sense. Remember, he's the creator, he's the father of humanity. As a mother or father or a teacher or a leader of any kind, when you look at one of your students or your children or disciples or little ones, do you want to look at them and be reminded of all of their problems? You don't, right? When you look at them, you want to think of their potential, the good things that could happen to them. You want to see them succeed, and I think that's similar with how God looks at us. And so we come to verses like Isaiah 43:25, where it says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Isaiah 43, though, the next three verses after that, it says, I remember the sins of your people, and I will punish you for it. And yet, right there it says, but I'm the God who forgets your sins. And then it goes and says, but I remember them. And so you have to stop and say, aren't those two ideas contradictory? Like God's saying he's going to forgive our sin, or he's going to remember, not remember our sins. Oh, but by the way, I remember your sins. Are they contradictory? So is God contradicting himself? And I make you think. Some of you just instantly shake your head no, which is good. God declares that he remembers sins and blots them out, but he also declares he's the one that forgets sins. And so you have to look at what Scripture says in its fullness. It goes on in later books of the Bible to explain how God forgets sins. He remembers sins. He prefers to forget them, though. And so he lists the process of how it happens. It's called forgiveness. It's called repentance. If we truly understand also forgiveness and repentance, then we're going to ask that God doesn't remember our enemies' sins either, if you think about that. Remember in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are our debtors or who sinned against us. And so we see other sets about God's memory in regards to sins, other sets of verses, where God actually states, you know what, sins can be forgotten. We get to Ezekiel. Ezekiel has a couple good passages about this. Chapter 18, verses 22 through 23, it says this, "But if a wicked person turns away from all his sins that he has committed and keeps all my statutes and does what is just and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of the transgressions that he has committed shall be remembered against him. For the righteousness that he has done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God, and not rather that he should turn from his way and live?" So God's saying, I don't get pleasure in remembering how much you guys have messed up. So turn from that instead. Nearly the same phrasing in Ezekiel 33, later in the same book, he says, "Again, though I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, yet if he turns from his sin and does what is just and right, if the wicked restores the pledge, gives back what he has taken by robbery, and walks in the statutes of life, not doing injustice, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of the sins that he has committed shall be remembered against him. He has done what is just and right. He shall surely live. Saying that if a wicked person repents, they can be forgiven. Later in the Bible, much further in the back, though, it actually explains better of how this process goes. Better in the process. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, the author of Hebrews quotes some of the same passages that I've already read. In Jeremiah, that passage where God says he wants to forget sins, there will be a new covenant coming where he does remember their sins no more, that whole passage is quoted in Hebrews chapter 8 and Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 8, it prefaces it with Christ, the high priest of this new kind of covenant. By the way, here's a reminder of what that covenant is like. And then he quotes that passage from Jeremiah. God is a God who remembers sins, yes, and he doesn't just forget about them because there's something that has to be done with them, and the good news is that something done with them is Christ's sacrificial work on the cross, is what it says in Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 10, I'll actually read some verses out of this one. It says this, it also quotes from Jeremiah. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds." Then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." And so, yes, God is a God who remembers sins. He declares that often in Scripture, but he doesn't want that to be the last memory he has of us. Just when you think of, when I think of my kids, I don't want to think about all the things they've done wrong. I actually had a conversation with my daughter 2 days ago of, I want to stop being angry. Please stop making me yell, because that's the only way you listen to me right now. And so I had a whole conversation about how I'd really love it to not think of your wrongdoings. I had that conversation with her. I want to think of the good things, your potential, the fun stuff. And so instead of just remembering our sins, God does remember our sins, but instead of just remembering our sins, he works to forgive our sin so that we can be separated from them. Even though they may be remembered, they're blotted out, they're remembered no more, they are paid for, and they are forgiven. Because Jesus paid for them. And so the big question of this sermon, which I think is going to end up being a short one, so you're all in luck. But the big question of this sermon is, have you accepted that? That, yes, God remembers your sins, but he doesn't want to remember your sins. And the way your sins are blotted out is through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. Have you been united with Jesus' payment for your sins by yourself dying to those sins and rising up a new person? The Bible describes how that happens with baptism. If you've not yet, I'd make sure it happens, because God is a God with perfect memory. God is a God who remembers our sins. He remembers the things we've done wrong. You know what else he remembers, though? It's his son's payment for our sins. And he remembers that if you repent, if you turn away from what caused Jesus to die, and you live a new life in Jesus' name, and the memory of a God who has the power to forget that which should be remembered, then he remembers your sins no more. Therefore, and if you go back to Hebrews chapter 10, I won't read more verses, but it continues on in that same way of Jesus has done this and forgiven our sins. God will remember our sins no more. Therefore, draw near to God, is the next thing it says, in full assurance of your salvation. Don't continue to sin. It continues to say, hold fast without wavering. Stir one another on towards love and good deeds. Continue meeting with the church and don't get in the habit of not doing that, as some are. And basically, that's all ways of saying, be excited about what God has done for you. Be excited that he's forgiven your sins, that he knows everything and he will never accidentally forget something, and yet he can choose to forget your sins. And those embarrassing things that we remember about ourselves, which there are many things we probably should have shame about that we don't as well, and all of those embarrassing things that if we knew how bad some of them were, we'd want to cover ourselves, we need not feel the shame. Instead of step one, open mouth, step two, insert foot, it should be step one, open mouth, step two, praise God. And that's what we can do because our sins are forgiven. And so we should live like they're things of the past. live like we're not people of sin anymore, because we're not if our sins are forgiven. And so don't succumb to the same old sins. Walk in newness of life, because we're a new people. So let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for the fact that though you have perfect memory, that you remember everything that has ever happened or ever could have happened or ever thought or ever even pondered on this earth,